Carolina down to Georgia, smell the jasmine and magnolia. Sleepy sweet home, Alabama, roll tide roll. Muddy water, Mississippi, blessed Graceland whispers to me.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show with the Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Monday morning, 34 minutes after the hour. Text line 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. Utilize the text line. Still come on the program, Dale Jackson, about an hour, about 2 hours from now. Our good friend of the program, Jennifer Fiddler, state representative for my neck of the woods, but I guess she hails from Silver Hill, to be precise. That's in the 11 o'clock hour. But joining us now, on his way to go wrangle some fish, it sounds like. But we are certainly glad he could make time for us. Jerry Carl, our congressman in the 1st Congressional District. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am up on the Alabama River near Selma, Alabama. And I will report the temperature is absolutely beautiful. The conditions are perfect. Now I've just got to get on the water and see if I can catch a few crappie.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Probably better than where I am today, but hope you are successful in that bid. I bring you back to the unfortunate reality that is the House of Representatives in Washington D.C. If you're a Republican, even though Republicans are in charge, Congressman, I mean, it doesn't sound like there's much to get too terribly excited about right now. I know there's these investigations and James Comer I see on Fox News all the time, and Jim Jordan. I don't know. You know, this heading into this general election this fall, Congressman, is there really anything to rally around? I mean, where are you? What do you think is, what's the mood? What's the temperature like?
Mood is horrible. I talked to you a little bit off air. I won't get that personal with it, but it's very tense on the floor. Everybody's mad at one another. It's us against them type mentality. And I'm not even talking about the Democrats. I'm just talking about the Republicans. Well, the Republicans have got to come together. They've got to figure out a way to meet one another halfway. There's one group that's just their way or not at all, and they know they have enough votes that can shut things down. And that's what we've seen for the last 16 months, is if it's not our way, we just shut it down, and they've done a good job of it. So, we've got to have some room to negotiate here. You know, it's okay if you've got a better idea. I'm all for better ideas. I'm all for being more conservative, but you got to have a plan. And just to shut things down or shut people out or try to get them kicked out like they did McCarthy, that's not a plan. That's an action, but there's no plan to follow up in behind that. And I'm afraid that's what we're suffering from right now. Now we've got campaigns going on. They were able to pick me off. That's fine. I'll move on. Life's good. But there's several others that they've got targeted that they're trying to take out, out of office. So now, it's become us versus them. And, on the floor, it's a very odd feeling. Everybody's literally, they're constantly mad at something or somebody. And, you know, when we were going out, Green doing her thing about Mike Johnson, Mike's doing his best. I mean, you're talking about thrown into a fire. I disagree with Mike quite often on quite a bit of things, but I try to disagree with people one-on-one, not on the airways. But Mike's heart's in the right place, and he's doing the best he can do. But just think about all those personalities that he's having to try to deal with and try to make happy, myself being one of them. I wasn't real happy with, some of the stuff that happened to me. But, you got to move on. This country is bigger than one person. It's bigger than one party. This country is worth fighting for, and we're at a point that we're just fighting one another, and it's not a good place to be as a Republican. I'd love to tell you something different, but we try. But again, the margins are so slim. Now we're down to one. I really don't think this handful of people want to govern. It's so much easier when you're in a minority. My gracious. Of course, when I first went in, we were in the minority, and the old-timers there, people there with some experience would say, oh, it's a whole lot easier to be a congressman when you're in the minority because you're just no to everything. So now that we're in the majority and we have to actually put a plan forward, you know, if we're going to say yes to something, there has to be a plan to go with it. It's a lot harder to do that. It's a lot harder to get other people to buy into it. So we'll continue to work through it. You know, I've got 8 more months. I'm going to continue to do the job that I've always done and try to, you know, support the party and get us to rally around something. But I really don't know at this point what's going to happen. It's just so dysfunctional.
Well, what's up with the time, Congressman? I mean, I know the politics of the country right now are kind of, you know, evenly divided, as reflected by the House of Representatives. But, like, there was, you had a well-oiled machine by both parties, and you kind of look across the aisle at the Democrats, but the Republicans, they would minimize the impact of a House Freedom Caucus. They raised money, they had candidates, and they got everything kind of back in normal working order, and they didn't necessarily negotiate with the right flank like they are now. I mean, like, do you look at this and kind of wonder that maybe, you know, the people who you guys vote for, Speaker Kevin McCarthy, is there anything he should have done differently to kind of minimize some of this infighting?
Yeah, I mean, the rule of thumb on the floor is if we have a hard vote, if we have something that we're really pushing for, and leadership comes to you and they want to hear why you want to vote against it, you know, why, and you give them a reason why, they will try to negotiate with you and try to work something out with you, you know, a trade here, a trade there. I mean, it's life. It's what it's about. And through these trades, they will get you to vote with them. Well, you know, this group we have in there now, it's no, they want to burn the place down. And you can't blame the people on the floor. This is the mentality of the voters in the field. This is the voters. And the voters, you know, you've got a very large segment just wants to burn it all down. I get frustrated as anybody. And I feel like that place needs some major, major overhaul. I will never, ever, ever argue that fact. Some things do need to be changed. But the fact we have to keep it moving and we have to work with it. We have to think about that. And just to burn it down, that's what you're seeing happen right now. These people believe that they want to shut government down because that's what the people are telling them. That's what they hear. And they're going to do it. This is the product of everybody on radio and TV saying we just need to burn the place down and start over. This is the product of that mentality, and that's where we're going. Now, we're not physically burning the place down, but I'm just talking about having a meltdown of all the people. And it's just become a petty war up there, and it's, you know, quote-unquote, who can be more conservative than the others. Somebody's going to have to redefine the word conservative to me, because if you are staunchly against abortion, if you are conservative-minded when it comes to spending money, I mean, if you meet all those punch lists of things you're conservative, how can somebody be more conservative than you? So it's really become a play on words up there. I mean, I got beat because I was, quote-unquote, not conservative enough. Somebody's got to find, again, that word conservative. Because, you know, you represent your people, and you know, at the same time, you have to take care of your people, but the idea of burning stuff down, it has never crossed my mind. That's just not, I'm a builder. I'm not a destroyer. Never have been, never will be. I've always built corporations, sold corporations. I've never tore anything down in my life. That's not my mentality.
I don't think this is necessarily anything about you when I say this.
No,
but
I'm just...
Well, I mean, say that the perspective, the burn it all down caucus, if you will, and I think that that's such a misguided reaction to the problems of the country. that because you're never going to burn it all down. It will beat you. It always does. I mean, you know, that's just how the world
and
is.
And it's not the people in Congress.
Right.
I keep telling people that. It's not your elected officials that run that town.
But, Congressman, the thing is, and this is just looking at this, I mean, let's go back to 2016 when Trump was elected and the reaction. You know, it was always like, well, what did we do wrong? Because that was a seismic change in American politics, starting with the Republican primary. How does a guy like that get the nomination? And that's what everybody's thinking. And then furthermore, how does he become president? And what happens is, well, there's sort of a backlash in the system. People are like kind of fed up. And it was never, to me, a satisfactory way of addressing that throughout the Trump presidency by sort of the Washington political class. Well, you know, how did we get here? Oh, it's just Russia collusion or whatever, or it's all these problems. It's stylistic approach to politics that people got there somehow. And I know this all predates you, but I think it's kind of like, well, the system is, the people who vote are fed up with the system, then why aren't we trying to fix the system?
Well, tell me where the system's broke without quoting some politician that's been screaming in your ear.
Well, I would say,
tell me where the system's broke.
I would say people look at it's all this populism in the system is generating immigration. I would say trade.
The immigration. I think all of us Republicans have stuck well together. The immigration can be laid flatly on Joe Biden's back. But when you start talking about spending money, you know, the conservatives say don't want any money spent. The ultra conservative. Let me rephrase that.
Well, how about like Obamacare and all these things that we're going to be fixed? Republicans tell you this over and over and over again that we're going to do something about this. And I'm not saying it's you know, we can necessarily blame anybody, but I understand the resentment. I understand the frustration is.
These guys run on these things
and nothing changes. Why should we trust you? To hell with it. Let's burn the whole thing down.
I disagree with it burning the whole thing down. We've got to find a way to make it work, Jeff. That's just too easy to say, let's quit.
I am just telling you that is, I think, what generates that sort of sentiment in our politics. And I don't know what the answer
is. You've got politicians that you don't hold responsible. You know, we all say things that we wish we could go back and change. I made a couple of statements I wish I could go back and change. You wouldn't change where I'm at today. But you got politicians that'll promise you anything at election time. And then when election's over with, they start coming up with excuses. Oh, well, I really can't do that. Especially freshmen, because freshmen don't understand how that town it is driven. I mean, that town is driven by bureaucrats. Now, I want to put a bill together that said no one can stay on one committee for over 10 years. Because you've got some bureaucrats, or especially appropriations, that have been in there for 15, 25, 30 years. And they've got their agenda that they can push through that when they write laws and put packages together. So the bureaucrats run that town. That's where the real problem is at, and that's what's got to be fixed.
I'm sure you're right, but you know, look, we're starting to elect people the burn it all downers. It used to be you could kind of keep those people sort of placated and just tell them whatever they need to hear, but now they are actually running and winning these seats, and that's what's happening. I mean, you're spot on when you say, well, it's the voters, but the voters didn't get there by accident. Maybe they got there because they were led by a media or something. But I think there is a genuine frustration with the system, and rightly or wrongly, whatever. But it's never been sufficiently addressed in a way that would keep it from damaging the elections or the political system.
Jeff, do you think people up there serving are frustrated?
No, I get it, but
we're in the heat.
It's such a big problem.
We're in the heat of the battle, and we want to change it, but we're one of 435 voices, and that's where it becomes a real problem. And then you've got the Democrat Party that reacts to it, and they will always react much, much harsher than the Republicans. They're a strong organization.
Well, here's what I think. The Democrats handle this in a much different way because I think they got their burn it all downers too. And for some reason,
they do, but they handle it different. And they say, if you don't work with us, we're going to take you off that committee, and your new office is going to be down in the basement next to the lumber yard. I mean, that's the way they handle their people. But that's what I was getting to a while ago. And the way we deal with one another, Jeff, Congressman Edwards, before he passed away, talked to me quite a bit about this. It used to be that all the congressmen lived up there with their families. There was none of this going back and forth all the time. So the guy or the person you argued with on the floor or you had issues with on the floor, you got home, you were having a birthday party for that man's kid in your house, and his whole family was over there. So how you dealt with one another and how you disagreed was really respectful, because even though you may disagree with a Democrat, they represent 700,000 plus people that have a right to be heard. Doesn't mean they're right, but they have a right to be heard. But we don't have that respect anymore. All we want to do is you know, call one another names and try to tear everything up. And, you know, this border thing, I'm beginning to think, because I've been wondering for a year and a half, why in the world would the president leave this border wide open? I do think it's a vote issue. I've come to the conclusion it is surely about votes. But what I'm basing that on is now the Democrats are beginning to say, oh, well, what we need to do now to clean this up is just give everybody citizenship and be done with it. That's the last thing we need to do.
Well, Carson,
that's the last thing we need to do.
And we're going to go along here, but I one thing I want to bounce off of you before I let you go, you talk about your loss and you felt like that maybe the voters weren't like, they were a little ideological driven, and that's how.
No, I'm saying the whole system's that way, not just my vote.
I think you lost your election. The people in the first congressional district liked you, and the votes proved that in Baldwin County, Mobile County, and Escambia County. The voters in the Wiregrass and Barry Moore's part of the district just liked him more. And that seemed to be what was the difference there. And I don't know that it was necessarily ideological as much as it is just the tribalism of Alabama politics.
I don't think it's Alabama politics. I think it's just politics in general. I think it's that way. I think there's so many things we could have done different in our campaign to have won. I lost. Barry won. We're going to support Barry. We're going to make sure he's successful. But, you know, there's a lot of things I could have done different. But What I'm talking about is you have this element even in your own district. Everybody does. We all talk about it in Congress. That's just that has that drive and that mentality to burn it down. They will show up and vote. Those are the people that will show up and vote. But the people that are comfortable with the job you're doing, most of them don't vote. Most of them just say, well, he doesn't need my vote. I sure wish I'd had 3,300 more votes. We'd be having a different conversation, I'm sure.
Well, Congressman, we got to leave it there. We're a little long, but thank you for interrupting your day off fishing. And
I enjoyed it. Take care, Jeff.
Let's get you on again soon.
God bless you. Take care, buddy.
Thank you. Congressman Jerry Carl there joining the show. We got to get a break in here. We shall return. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. So drinking money.